What about the water that gets to their wells that's going to be deep underground that potentially could?
Well, I don't have all my information in front of me. This would be my my answer to someone who asked me is these wells here are all in the 300-plus feet in depth where they're actually how they were installed and where they were cased. So they draw from a fairly deep aquifer. The groundwater in this fill mass area is substantially higher than that where the drinking water from those residents' wells are currently taking withdrawing their water from. So based on that, plus the direction of groundwater flow, this direction, we have it hydraulically deeper to a different aquifer with the well logs that I had an opportunity to look at. I've probably looked at 20 to 25 different well logs along this in this subdivision here, and they all seem to be relatively constructed in the same manner. With the groundwater flowing away from the structures, and the depth of where they draw the water, I think they're relatively in a safe position.
Thank you.
Alderman Barber.
How would you characterize the Miller Park problems as opposed to the Ballpark Common problems? As far as the scope of the problems, how would you compare or characterize those differences?
There's parts of the Miller Park problems that are associated there are significantly worse than this landfill itself. And that, I'll go to two things, and I'll deal one that's probably the most common. There's area of Miller Park where there's free product underneath the parking lots. Free product means there's pools of oil that are trapped within the soil that are floating on the shallow groundwater surface there. So we have a program that we've been, and DNR requires you to have an active remediation system. So there's a service that comes and tries to pump off the free product that's floating on that water. So we don't have anything like that here. The other issue at Miller Park, groundwater-wise, is there's quite a contaminated plume of chlorinated hydrocarbons that exist on the site. So that's a very big and relatively high concentration. So we've been under a program there of natural attenuation monitoring, which is a fancy way of saying Mother Nature eventually will take care of this problem. It will break down. So we have quite a large plume there. That's the part of Miller Park where the Milwaukee Road was actually a manufacturing company, though, so that wasn't necessarily fill-based. It was manufacturing-based. The issue that probably is parallel is the one of methane. Methane at Miller Park was handled differently because we excavated the whole mass that generated the methane itself. Expensive, but the way that the Miller Park was designed and where it was at grade, it actually accommodated the mass excavation because the subsurface of the Miller Park footprint was excavated probably 8 to 10 feet lower than its existing grade now when you go watch a game, both to accommodate the trash removal and the construction of the field itself. There's a drainage system on there that not much different than what some of the construction that will take place on these fields. So and the methane, the generation rates are about the same. So it was the same type of fill material, probably a little exacerbated at Miller Park because it's also part of a river system, so you've got the natural organics that were also contributing to the methane generation. But it was a relatively inexpensive remedial system to address the issue at Miller Park to get DNR approval to allow that project to finally move forward.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Zimmerman. You put an engineer up first.
Yeah, no, it's sorry, I fell asleep there for a minute. No, you have more to
No, that's pretty much it. Unless we know
Clay,
that we have.
Go,
I'll just finish up. We know we have an approval process to go through with DNR, and what we do there, we develop our work plan. We get that work plan, which says, here's where we're going to go look, here's what we're going to look for, and we get DNR to buy off on it. We go execute our work, and then we meet again with DNR and say, here's our results, and hopefully we don't need to go gather more information, but if we do, we return and gather more. And then after that, that's when we get into designing a solution to the problem.
Alderman Mayor.
I do have some questions regarding the water. With the Miller Park, was that aligned?
No. Aligned landfill?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
And this one isn't?
This one is similar. It's okay. Unlined.
Okay. So
I'll take that back. There's portions of it that the documentation says it was lined. What the difference is, this was not ever an engineered landfill to begin with, so there, it was just all those gravel pits that I showed you in the 67 were basically filled, except the Anderson pit area has about a 10-foot clay liner under that area of the site.
Okay. With my conversations with the residents who live in Hawthorne, Hawthorne. I think their concerns, I think, are more with the water. And I guess in my mind, it makes sense when you start putting pressure on water and gas and everything, there's a tendency to have that go out that way. So how do you put their minds at ease with an unlined fill site?
The best evidence of what and how the site's going to react is how it's been reacting since it's been capped, and because additional fill was placed on top of it, the monitoring wells associated with that do not indicate that there's any exceedances or movement of groundwater from the fill mass in that direction. So history would be the best predictor of what the future would be. So there's over 20 years of monitoring data on this site.
Yeah, but with no pressure on.
No, there's pressure on there now because at first it wasn't filled. And when you put a cap on, you are adding extra fill on top of that. So you do change the dynamics very little. I don't, without understanding the particulars of the question, minus the fill that's going to be brought in associated with the construction of the ballpark, that would be really the only additional loading that is going to take place. And part of our approval process with DNR is to investigate what the exact water quality is underneath the proposed area of the baseball diamond and to establish, if you want to call a monitoring wells on the exterior of that structure to see if, A, establish the quality of what the water quality is now, its directional flow, and if that changes with construction of the site. And there's quite a bit of distance between that site and the residence, and the only probably effect is only going to be on the shallow aquifer. And as I pointed before, those tend to flow to the north and to the northeast.
I'm sorry, the effect is on the shallow aquifers?
Well, you're only
the pressure or?
The pressure. There's the transmit that amount of pressure from the weight that's going to be added with the stadium to the deep aquifer that the residents are actually tapped into and reverse that hydraulic gradient between the area underneath the stadium and the residents would be insignificant amount of movement, if any at all.
Okay.
So it won't get, the adding some extra soil with the stadium in layman real quick term is not going to affect the deep flow of the regional flow of the hydrology associated with that area.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Mike?
Dave, just one question for you. The other, just to that point, we thought a lot about that, and one of the discussions we had as a team was
sort of a belt and suspenders approach. And, you know, we're not too far from extending city water down to those neighbors. So if that's something, you know, the neighbors and the city felt was the right strategy, we think that the project could certainly help support that. So, and Dave, just one other question for you. The current state versus the future state that we're proposing with the new methane system, the you know, paving of the parking lots, the synthetic turf, how do you view that? Is that a creative? Is that a positive to what we currently have going on? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, if I understood your question correctly, if the development moves forward and parking lots are constructed and artificial turf is constructed, then all that water precipitation that's going to fall on those areas, instead of slightly penetrating and get it into the fill mass, no longer that won't happen because it'll be treated in a stormwater pond. So there'll actually be less precipitation, less influence.
Dave, tilt yours down a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah. All right. So it actually, that type of cap is a better cap than what's there now from a performance standard. It's impervious. Impervious is always better than slightly pervious. The methane generation, that probably won't have an influence in particularly the way it's what we have to do with our mitigation systems.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. So next on the agenda is a update on our conversations with county. So we've had extensive conversations with our partner, Milwaukee County Parks. As you know, as a reminder, we have essentially it's a management agreement. It acts sort of like a lease for about 25 years for the Rock Sports Complex. But where we're going, the county obviously has some concerns about anything that's done to the landfill in terms of how, you know, that could potentially put them, add additional liability to already what they currently have. And also had a lot of questions, rightfully so, about what the costs were. So we've been spending a lot of time sort of understanding what the future costs are, both on the operating side and the capital side. And got our arms around all of that, and have had really good discussions. And while Teague is here tonight, I guess I'll just sort of summarize and say that I think we're getting pretty close to getting to a resolution. We had a very productive meeting last Friday about a framework that we think is going to sort of solve for some of the concerns on both parties. So we still got to have a couple more discussions. We're looking to do that this week, next week, and you know, we're hopeful we can, you know, get that obviously in front of the city and the county supervisors when the time is right. So I'm going to ask on the next element if Joe could come on up and join me, and I'm going to add the DOT update, which is kind of the road grid, and you know, we've had conversations with the DOT and have, you know, understood kind of the traffic impact through a consultant and have articulated that in the new master plan. So, Joe, since this is sort of your baby, I'm going to let you drive the master plan, and I'll add color to it.
Yep, absolutely.
Maybe introduce yourself.
Yep, absolutely. Good evening. Can you hear me good when I don't? My name is Joe Lee with JLA Architects. We are a full-service architectural firm based in Madison and Milwaukee, about 15 people. We have a lot of experience in master planning, multifamily developments, mixed-use retail developments as well.
Jesse.
Thank you. I'll go through. We'll start with the plan north. Aaron, is it the up? There we go. This is good. Is this the remote for that too, or no? Okay. Okay. So this is the. Do you want to go through the?
Glenn, you're in the way, and your water bottle too, and your water bottle. Thank you.
Okay. So north of. Maybe just go back one more with the overall. I can just highlight the context here. So north of Rawson Road, south of Rawson Road, we'll start with the master plan of the area north of Rawson Road, which is the sports entertainment district. And Mike didn't touch on it, but in our the public road is going to come from 76th Street, this recommended intersection south along the border of the fill site. And as you come down south, here's a node of activity here we'll get into in a second. And then it crosses south Rawson Road and down here to a potentially a Loomis connection, but at first down to the existing road there near that subdivision. So we can go down to the next slide. So here's the north of Rawson Road master plan. So, you know, here's the focus or the big use item here is the ballpark here. So potentially a 4,000 seat capacity. Here is the node of activity that we see as kind of the crown jewel of this whole development and what will serve as the identity for Ballpark Commons, which would be a sports entertainment retail node. So off of Rawson, we have, and this is all part of the public road, we have a pedestrian-oriented streetscape lined with red is retail uses, retail and commercial uses. We'll get into these specific uses in a second. The yellow are all the sports entertainment. So obviously the stadium, we have a golf facility, a year-round golf facility, and an indoor sports complex as well. As we go up north on the public parkway, we have another node of activity here, which would be a mixed-use multifamily and retail development. We can get into the specifics of that in a second, and then a couple of pad sites that flank that area that will have some retail, commercial, restaurant, perhaps uses as well. All of this area we want to be walkable. We want to have pedestrian-friendly connections, as you can see, even from the furthest pad site into the multifamily mixed-use area down south up. To pedestrian connections to the stadium and to the sports entertainment mixed-use complex there.
And the Oakleaf Trail integration.
And we will be integrating the Oakleaf Trail as well.
Can we do one thing just to give everybody some visual orientation?
Sure.
This is the chalet. Umbrella bars here. Existing facilities.
Yep.
I think the BMX stuff is right here, roughly, just to give everybody a little orientation. Thanks.
And this is the existing roundabout there as well, and parking. So what we have done we've as a development team sat down and did what we call visual preferencing, where we go through existing architectural or developments and architectural precedents and talk about what we want this development to be like, what we like, what we don't like. And if we can go to the next slide, I believe. I don't know, Mike, you want to talk about the stadium or should we leave that to?
Yes.
Yeah, go keep going a little bit more here. Get to the, okay. So in the commercial and entertainment district, and we will show some images here as we move forward, but the group is moving towards a more modern industrial inspired aesthetic for this. You want me to do it? Thank you. Okay. So what that means is simple forms and simple building masses, the use of raw materials like masonry, concrete, metal, and wood, with a rich, deep, natural color palette. And what we want to do is have that as a consistent theme throughout the project. So not only with the mixed-use entertainment district node right off of Rawson Road, north of Rawson, but throughout in that other mixed-use area as we go north on the parkway and have that bleed south of Rawson Road as well.
1 second. For the record, Alderman Barber left his seat at 7:15 and returned at 7:20. Thanks.
So here's some examples of architecture which has a similar style to what we're looking for. Now, and not in all cases will this be exact representation of what we're talking about, but I can point out some of the things as we move forward pretty quickly. And then we'll get into some of our initial designs that will show some initial massing and character to get kind of a sense of scale and a sense of place to that area. So what we're talking about, the use of some masonry, the use of natural woods, raw materials like metal, and again, a lot of glass. So we want to engage the pedestrian realm and have that indoor-outdoor engage the uses that will be in that area. So again, there's potential for that indoor-outdoor space, the use of raw materials such as brick and metal, large window punched openings. Here you can see this backdrop is maybe more what we're talking about, less of this membrane canopy, but more of this simple massing, repetitive features, kind of an industrial warehouse look. You can see here some of that styles as well.
We see some logos here.
Similar to that.
These are not tenants. These are
just representative of the character that will be inspiring the architecture. So none of these tenants and none of these logos have anything to do with the Ballpark Commons. So again, simple forms, simple massing, quality materials. I'll let you ask some questions as we move forward. So this is a blow up of that area that we were talking about. What we see is Mike's referred to it as the crown jewel of this development. And so it's this is part of the public street before we cross Ross in here. So you can see we really want to break down the scale of this, bring in some pedestrian scaled environment here. So we have retail and commercial flanking each side of this boulevard, this pedestrian-friendly boulevard, and at the end of it, a quasi-public plaza here. And this is just shown as a representation. It's not fully designed by any means yet, but so this will be some sort of quasi-public plaza with a mix of hardscape and landscape that can really activate the uses, activated by the uses here. And then you'll see in some imagery some streetscape ideas that we have as we're going up here. So the red buildings, C3, C4, C2, and C1, are envisioned to be a retail commercial tenants. C1, this is going to be a three-story mixed-use retail and office building. C3, C4, and C2, tenants obviously are not determined yet, but again, retail, restaurant, commercial, all those red. So this will be a really good, nice node of activity here to help support and play off of the commercial.
Just to add color, so we would fully, if we start construction this summer, we would fully anticipate that about 80% of that would be leased up by then. So we're in very strong discussions / negotiations with the golf facility, obviously, the office building, the underneath retail underneath the office building. C4 is going to be a restaurant that we're in negotiations with. S3 is going to be, there's two tenants we're talking to that look like they're going to make a move there, and then we believe C2 will be a it'll be a kind of a contemporary healthcare retail product. So these are, we're feeling very, very good about the tenants that we're talking about. And then on the other side, we're in deep conversations with a brew pub next to the stadium, which I think he'll show in another. So when you look at these designs, a lot of this is, you know, it's very sort of fit for purpose, meaning it's we're not designing this in a vacuum. This is currently being designed around the tenants that would like to come here.
Thanks. So as we move forward here, I want to preface the next few slides with we have just begun the initial designs of the buildings as we finish up the master plan. And these images were done as part of our visual preferencing as a development team to get a sense to help better convey to ourselves a sense of scale of what these buildings can be. So not as much of the architectural style. It's not to say they won't look like this, but it's more for getting a sense of scale and how are we determining the sense of place and of this main area here. So this is an aerial of that blow up that we just looked at. So this is a three-story building. So with a one-story retail component or mix of use component here. On the other side here is the large indoor sports facility, year-round sports facility, and then immediately to the east of there again would be that commercial retail node. And as we come into the site on that boulevard, the terminus is that multi-level year-round golf facility. And you can see in the background that this would be all that artificial turf golf facility that can be used year-round. Now, this is an interesting facility. It's conceived as not only the golf facility, but will be connected to these commercial wings, let's say. And as Mike said, this is going to be a restaurant. And inside the facility itself, there'll also be other activities, maybe a small retail shop like a pro shop, or another food and beverage facility as well in here. So as we're coming down the street, this will be the focal point. Here's another shot of the scale of this plaza. So don't take from this the actual, you know, we need to design this in more detail, but this shows you how this plaza can really be activated by all these uses that are surrounding it, and this can really be a great pedestrian-friendly place. What we want to create as a place here and serve as the identity. We'll take you kind of in a ground plane tour here. So this is heading east on Rawson Road. Now, the building here, the indoor sports facility, as you might guess, it's a large facility. It has to have some tall, clear spans, and we're exploring different strategies to reduce the scale of that building. This is along Rawson, and one idea we're talking about is a large, substantial, large identity sign that really welcomes you and gives an identity here. So as we're heading east on Rawson, you come along the sign, you can see that three-story building in the background, and as you come to this entrance to the development, you can see how it really welcomes you into the site. This is a view west on Rawson, so the three-story building, the retail commercial facility that's in front of the indoor sports complex. Again, a lot of interaction between the public way and what's going on behind here. Again, the signage is meant for pizza. It's meant for just to show possibilities of where that could be. It's not necessarily meant to to show a potential tenant. So as we're going towards, you know, that boulevard, you can see the cross-section of the street. That's a really nice proportion. We have parallel parking on either side, a green space boulevard. And as you're driving in, you get this terminus to that entry. Here you can see some potential streetscape along there with the parallel parking. We can do some nice stuff with the paving, seating, planters, streetscape lighting, banners. I'll make this a really great pedestrian friendly atmosphere. There's some opportunities for outdoor areas as well. Here's a pedestrian level view of that cross section. So as you can see, there's separation from the parking and the pedestrian realm. We think that's important with this zone of landscaping. And as you go into it, again, this is that golf facility, multi-story golf facility, the plaza in front. You can see how that relates. This is at the plaza looking back towards the three-story office building. So as you can see, it's taller than the other buildings, but it's at a very great, very nice scale for the development. And these will have excellent views back towards the stadium. Get another view looking west.